This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, and it is a gigantic show here on a Thursday. We're going to talk about, we're going to open up talking about Afghanistan here in a minute. I'm going to try to stay calm, but we're going to have a discussion about that. We're going to have a discussion about us being the Soviet Union. They're out there bragging about the crime statistics, and it's just, man, it's so blatant. Secret Service agents are breastfeeding when they're supposed to be protecting Donald Trump. The left-wing dark money network, a little bit of how that works. RFK Jr. apparently wants any job he can get in politics. All that and so much more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. And before I get to any of that, allow me to remind you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. All 3 hours belong to you. Ask me anything, but get your questions emailed in right now to Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com if you want it read on the air. Now, I'm going to begin with no news of the day today. Yeah, that we're going to get to the Secret Service and the Trump imprisonment and the crime stats and we're going to get to a lot of different things. But it is the 3-year anniversary of the fall of Afghanistan. Afghanistan being taken over by the Taliban, who still control it to this day. And, you know, I got out of the Marine Corps shortly after I got back from Iraq in 2004. Right. I never went to Afghanistan. I was a Marine in Iraq. I got back in 2004 and I get out of the Marines. I moved down to Arizona, start doing construction, and I'm having some stomach issues after I got back. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. But I was having just some issues. No big deal. And I start going to the VA hospital. Now, this is probably 05, I would guess, 04, 05, but I start going to the VA fairly regularly. And remember, this is super, super early in the global war on terror. As I'm in the VA for these appointments, you're always waiting in the lobby. You know, it's government healthcare, so it is what it is, but you're waiting here, you're waiting there. I was almost always the youngest patient or one of the very few younger patients in the room. You'd be sitting there waiting for your appointment and you would look around and the dudes in the room, they're all old timers. There's Vietnam vets and Korean War vets and World War II vets. Everyone has gray hair and wrinkles. And here I am, 25, 26 years old. And, you know, I loved sitting there hanging with the guys. I love talking to those guys. So that part of it was great. But I kept going for a couple years trying to get things figured out, trying to figure out what was wrong with my stomach. And it made such an impact on me to this day. I don't think I'll ever forget watching that lobby, watching that waiting room get younger and younger and younger as I kept going. And instead of it just being, you know, some salty old timer with a, you know, USS, you know, whatever, pick his naval vessel from World War II, instead of just him being in a wheelchair down the hall, there were a lot of dudes who looked like me in a wheelchair going down the hall. Maybe without a foot, a hand, an arm, both legs, burn victims. And they were my age then, and they're my age now. So now, if they're still alive, Lord willing they are, they're 43 years old, and they've lived 20 years of their lives without legs. Imagine coming back from Afghanistan missing two legs, maybe a hand too, and living for 20 years needing assistance to get in the shower. You don't ever get to play baseball with your kid. You are, because of the physical damage you've gone through, and I know there are vets listening to me right now who are in the middle of this, because of the physical things you gave up for this country, the rest of your life, you will be denied certain things that other people get to do. By the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, I came back with all my body parts. But in Afghanistan and Iraq, but we're talking about Afghanistan right now, there's a lot of blood, American blood, on that soil. A lot of guys, a lot of men and women, they didn't come home. A lot of men and women came home maimed, and I don't mean with a little cough. I don't mean with a hangnail. They came home having given up huge parts of the rest of their life in that country. And I am still, when I think about it too long, I feel the same about Iraq, I should note, but when I think about it too long, it creates first sadness and then so much anger and rage in me that it's probably unhealthy. I don't think I'm actually in a very healthy place, because those men and women are so wonderful. And the people who put them in that position, who led them, military leaders, politicians, Republican and Democrat, they did them so wrong. 20 years of not even being able to define the mission. Remember, it's one of the only decent things the Washington Post has ever done. Remember the Afghanistan papers? If you are a patriot and fancy yourself as being a reader, or maybe you want to be a bit of a reader, I can't believe I'm doing this. I want to encourage you to go read the Afghanistan papers from the Washington Post. And remember when we talked about that on this show, from the earliest days, it's not like it's just something that came when the Biden administration got there. From the earliest days, the leadership at the highest levels didn't even know what the mission was. We have direct quotes from Donald Rumsfeld. I'm not even sure what we're doing here. And we had our guys guarding poppy fields over there. In fact, there are stories, more than one, of a Marine, a soldier, doing damage to a poppy field. Remember, poppy fields, that's heroin. That's how they make heroin. Doing damage to a poppy field and getting reprimanded for it. Remember that story of the Green Beret? In parts of Afghan culture, there's this real sick thing where they prey on young boys. And somebody we were working with in training started preying on a young boy. This Green Beret friggin' had enough of it, went and handled his business, and the Green Beret got in trouble for it. 20 years of an undefined mission while men and women were dying and being maimed. And then when it finally came to an end, the Biden administration, remember this, it didn't get a lot of pub, but I told you what was happening at the time and it turned out to be true. The Biden administration just decided to yank everyone out one day without any kind of an evac plan, without any kind of a plan at all. Why did they do it so quickly? They did it because they wanted a bump in the poll numbers for the 20th anniversary of Afghanistan, of 9/11. They wanted to be able to throw Joe Biden a parade that would help his poll numbers. So instead of doing it methodically and evacing from Bagram, where our people could have been safe, they just shipped everyone out of town one day. And the country, of course, collapses, even though we've been training these useless Afghan security forces for years. The country goes tits up immediately and collapses immediately. And then the Biden administration doesn't get the bump in the polls they thought they wanted, even though Joe was on freaking vacation during all
this. Where is the president? You know, why isn't he communicating fulsomely to the American people?
The president has been deeply engaged in all of the policy conversations.
Totally different story than a few weeks ago, right? I mean, why isn't he out there now? Kabul fell yesterday. Where is the president?
Brianna, the president has spoken to this extensively, and I expect that he will speak to it again soon.
Soon, in the coming days, should we hear something from him today? Do you expect that? It seems like the moment demands that.
I'm not going to get ahead of both decision-making and...
President was on the beach. Anthony Blinken was on vacation. And then after they scrambled because their poll numbers suffered, they sent Marines, soldiers, and sailors into harm's way outside of an airport, and 13 of them are gone and they'll never come back. Their parents don't ever get another Christmas with them. They'll never be husbands, fathers, wives. We lost a lovely young lady in that blow up too. And when Joe Biden, when these people had to meet them and the families, Joe Biden was so checked out, uninterested, and bored, he spent the entire time checking his watch for when he could go back to eat some ice cream in the White House. And I only wanted to talk about this because I just wanted to extend, I didn't even have the words. I wanted to extend my best to every man and woman who sacrificed their time, their blood, their friends, their relatives. I know we have a bunch of those people listening, and if you did, I'm sorry. I'm sorry your country didn't do you better than it did. I have so much respect for you and your sacrifice and what you went through, and I'm sorry. So that's all. That's all I wanted to say. Let's move on and talk about some other things before I get myself really, really angry here. Look, let's talk about something now to make your life a little bit better before we move on to something else. Look, pain sucks. It does. Daily pain. If once you go through it, you realize how life-sucking it is. When you wake up every single day with back pain, it's debilitating. I went through so much of this for so many years when I was a kid because I grew so fast. It was just constant back pain. You can't sit. You can't stand. Every time I would run, every time it just sucked. But you don't have to live with pain like that. You really don't. You don't have to mask it, and you don't have to ignore it. Pick up some relief factor and try to treat it. Try to let your body do what it wants to do. Your body's trying to fight that inflammation. It needs help. That's what relief factor is. It's the help your body needs. 100% drug-free. Go to relieffactor.com. Take it for 3 weeks and tell me how you feel. Or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. All right, I'm gonna dig into something here because the White House keeps making this claim, and maybe your liberal Aunt Peggy keeps making this same claim. What is that claim? It's a claim about crime. Diversity Hire was asked about the crime in America. That's what she said.
Now, when the president and the vice president took office, they inherited the biggest increase in the murder rate on record. They went to work immediately, passing the biggest investment in public safety, including historic law enforcement funding through the American Rescue Plan, which every Republicans in Congress voted against. President Biden and Vice President Harris also passed the most significant gun reform law in almost 30 years. And now we're seeing the results of that action. Violent crime has plunged to its lowest ever in almost 50 years. And today, Axios reported, new preliminary data from major U.S. cities shows that homicides were down during the first full 6 months of President Biden's last year in August.
You ever heard of the Great Leap Forward? If you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. But the Great Leap Forward. Let's just do just a little brief history, shall we? Mao took over. The communists took over in China. This is back in the late 40s. 48, I believe the year was. Back in the late 40s, Mao finally was able to defeat the nationalists in China. All right, so now China, it's run by communists. Mao and his communists, they wanted China to, quote, modernize. They wanted, it was kind of a, it was, I don't want to say backward, but I guess I don't have a more delicate way to put it. It wasn't as modern as other countries at the time, not even close. And Mao wanted it to modernize. What did Mao do? Well, because he was a dirty, filthy, demonic communist, Mao forced people to gather on these gigantic communal farms, and he forced people to begin harvesting things like grain. To what end? Why was he doing this? Well, it wasn't so they could eat. None of it was designed to feed the Chinese people. Again, the communist is an anti-human, doesn't care about people. He knew people were dying right away. You had to harvest the grain from Mao because Mao was going to take that grain and sell that grain to other nations in exchange for money and materials so Mao could industrialize China. Essentially, hey, Chris, you and Michael, get out there in the fields and grow me some corn. And then I'm going to take all that corn and I'm going to sell it to Japan so we can get a fancier camera here in the studio. That's you know, a more basic thing that he was, more basic way to explain what he was doing. And of course, people started dying. And the communists, not only do they not care, they loved it because who dies first? Who dies first in every one of these situations? Pregnant women, old people, children. Pregnant women, old people, children. Why did they die first? They're the physically they're the weakest. They're least able to withstand starvation and hard labor, and so they die. And Mao loved this. That's exactly what he wanted. He wanted them to die. Why? Well, this pregnant woman here, she's eating. We have to feed her three meals a day. She's eating, and yet she's not producing the way the 25-year-old man beside her is producing. If she would just friggin' die, then we'll just get another dude to fill in her spot. He'll be more productive. And when you're an anti-human demonic monster who doesn't care about human life at all, that's an easy decision, isn't it? It just becomes a business decision. Well, no surprise, this turned into the greatest disaster of any kind in the history of mankind. Man-made, natural, it doesn't matter how you want to put it. We don't know the number. We will never know the number because when you get into the tens of millions of deaths and you combine that with the government's insistence on lying about it, the Chinese government was obviously invested in that lie, we will never know the number. Is it 30 million? That's honestly, that's probably the low end of the things I've seen. Is it 70 million? I usually call it 50 million, but that's just me trying to find a number in the middle. I've had many people tell me they believe 70 million Chinese people starved to death during the Great Leap Forward. 70 million. And so, what do you do about that if you're the Communist Party in China? How do you handle that? Well, for a communist, it's very easy to handle. There's no mystery in how you handle it. You just lie. It's not a difficult situation. The people in the cities, the Chinese cities aren't dying. It's the people out in the country. They're dying in droves. So just lie about everything. Manipulate the numbers. No one's allowed to report the truth. So you lie. Now, let's talk about where we are as a country, shall we? Before we get to that, speaking of lies, you think you have to go to the big box store for affordable bedding. You think you have to go down to Walmart, go down to Bed Bath & Beyond to find some sheets, find some towels, find a good pillow. But that's a friggin' lie because my pillow is here. The Patriotic Company. The company that uses our money when we purchase things from MyPillow, not only do we get incredible products back, MyPillow, they fight for us. Seems like every other corporation's out there fighting against us, not MyPillow. They're not even quiet about it. They're loud. MyPillow got kicked out of Bed Bath & Beyond. You know you can get a premium MyPillow queen size right now for $19.98? You know you can get those bed sheets you've heard me rave about, $25. You got to go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special square, and use the promo code Jesse. Or just call 800-845-0544. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Of course, that means tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in now to Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. We have so many freaking good ones. I might even knock out a few of them tonight. In fact, I probably will, but I want to go back to what we were just talking about. Mao does the great leap forward, starts murdering 50 million of his countrymen, and so many people in China, in the urban areas of China, for so long had no idea about it. How could that be possible? How could you hide that kind of loss of life for so long? Well, think about it. Think about this. Think about how many ways you can access information. Well, today there's a lot of ways, but let's rewind. Let's make it 1950. How many ways can you access information, news from the outside world? You can talk to people who've seen it, who've done it. That's one way. Another way is newspapers, newsletters, magazines. That's really how information was received back then. So what do you need to do if you want to cover up the slaughter of 40 to 50 million Chinese peasants out there in rural China? You just take control of the avenues of information, and then you can tell gigantic, blatant lies, and large quantities of the public will believe it because the only way they can access information is through the lies, through the lying publications you have taken over. Now, I'm going to play something for you again. Before I play it for you, I'm going to read you a statistic here. Law enforcement agencies, how do they come up with these crime statistics nationally? Murders down, rape is up. How do they come up with these statistics? Well, it's the FBI who puts out these statistics. That's one. Two, they come up with these statistics because they need local law enforcement agencies, local and state, I should say. So, for instance, in Texas, you would have the Houston Police Department and the Texas Rangers. Local law enforcement agencies have to submit crime data to the FBI. The FBI comes up with the crime data, and then they put out the crime data nationally. Do you know what percentage of police agencies submitted no data? Zero. 32%. A third of the police agencies in the country submitted no data. Oh, and I guess I should probably mention the agencies that refuse to submit their crime data are from the locations where the most amount of violent crime is happening. Little places like New York City, Los Angeles, the highest crime areas in the country, their police agencies are so infected with this DEI filth, and they're so infected with communism that they understand they can't report crime statistics accurately at all, so they simply don't report those statistics. And then the federal government, the White House, who knows all this, they know everything I just said is true, they will stand up with a straight face in front of the American people and say things like this. This is why your liberal Aunt Peggy is a moron.
Now, when the president and the vice president took office, they inherited the biggest increase in the murder rate on record. They went to work immediately, passing the biggest investment in public safety, including historic law enforcement funding through the American Rescue Plan, which every Republicans in Congress voted against. President Biden and Vice President Harris also passed the most significant gun reform law in almost 30 years. And now we're seeing the results of that action. Violent crime has plunged to its lowest ever in almost 50 years.
Violent crime has plunged to its lowest ever in 50 years. This weekend, when you're gathering with family after church, of course, Aunt Peggy won't have been there, but when your liberal Aunt Peggy walks into your house and starts bragging that violent crime is down, well, of course, she's insane and she's wrong, but it's understandable because we really do live in China now. We live in the Soviet Union now. We do. It's time to accept that there are obviously some differences, praise God, but we live now in a system just as dishonest as those systems are, and your liberal Aunt Peggy is lost, completely lost. You want to figure out just how evil our government is? I'm going to play something for you. I want you to listen to this. This is the NYPD. They're discussing what's happening with these young criminals, illegals, from all over the world. I want you to listen to what's happening. Listen.
Savino says the suspects in these crimes are in large groups, what he calls wolf packs, like this mugging on August 1st. He says they take off with things like wallets, phones, and bags.
So you can imagine the feeling. Imagine the feeling of that individual, predominantly tourists or soft targets, sitting on a bench and then ultimately being victimized by these wolf pack type robberies. It's tremendously concerning, and it's a new phenomenon, not only to Central Park, but really to the area.
He says many of the suspects in these crimes live in city-run migrant shelters, and their average age is just 15. Police arrested an 11-year-old Tuesday night after he allegedly stole a phone from someone on the number 7 train. Assistant Chief Savino says the same kid was seen on video using credit cards stolen during a robbery in Central Park.
Although they're very young, you know, very impressionable, they do have a big influence on this group, you know, and that's something we haven't really readily seen. It's one of the first times I've ever seen it in my career.
Wrap your mind around this. You want to digest just how evil your government is? Democrats got elected. Joe Biden got elected. They opened up the border on purpose. They promptly reversed all of Trump's decisions that had closed up the border. They opened it up on purpose. Third world hellholes like Venezuela, they emptied their prisons. Their rapists, their gangs, their murderers, they emptied their prisons onto American soil, and Democrats wanted them to do it. Republicans like James Lankford in Oklahoma tried to help them do it. Republicans like Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, refused to do anything to stop it. And now, if you're an American citizen in Central Park, the chances are not zero that a Venezuelan gang of animals will descend on you like hungry wolves on a wounded elk in Montana and ravage you. And this was done to you by your government. The United States government is facilitating, encouraging the rape and murder of American citizens. Just digest that. I'll play it again for you one time. As you listen to it, I want you to remind yourself, maybe say to yourself as you listen to this, the government did this on purpose.
Savino says the suspects in these crimes are in large groups, what he calls wolf packs, like this mugging on August 1st. He says they take off with things like wallets, phones, and bags.
So you can imagine the feeling. Imagine the feeling of that individual, predominantly tourists or soft targets, sitting on a bench and then ultimately being victimized by these wolf pack type robberies. It's tremendously concerning, and it's a new phenomenon, not only to Central Park, but really to the area.
He says many of the suspects in these crimes live in city-run migrant shelters.
The United States government did this. Democrats did it on purpose. James Lankford and Mitch McConnell tried to help them do it. Mike Johnson didn't lift a finger to try to stop it. We are being abused by our own government. All right. Let's get to some emails, shall we? Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. I'm going to get to a couple more things. Joe Biden and Dome did some big rally today. I got a couple little cuts from that one. Before I do that, the wife reminded me by text message that I have been negligent in playing the Frito Bandito lately. Man, that is my fault.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. Hey, I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Anyway, Joe Biden, they dragged poor Joe out. You know, he hasn't been able to do many of these things because he's checked out and fading fast. But they dragged poor Joe Biden. Is it dragged or drug? Whatever. They dragged poor Joe Biden out to do some rally with Dome, and he was in rare form.
Folks, I have an incredible partner. The progress we've made, she's going to make one hell of a president.
Yeah. Also, I guess that whole tone down the rhetoric after Trump about got his head blown off, I guess that's all out the window.
You may have heard about the MAGA Republican Project 2025 plan. They want to repeal Medicare's power to negotiate drug prices. Let Big Pharma back to charge them whatever they want. Let me tell you what our Project 2025 is. Beat the hell out of them.
I guess the whole unity thing's back by the wayside.
The reason I say that is not to make a political point about them, not if they've gotten their lesson, but guess what? They want to... the guy we're running against, what's his name? Donald Dump or Donald... whatever.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to miss him. I think the part I'm going to miss the most is Joe Biden talking like some kind of Italian mobster tough guy. Make my day, pal. You know how he always talked like that? I think I'm going to miss that part the most. The lifelong politician dork always talking as if he's John Gotti. It made me laugh. It always made me laugh. Of course, Dome, this was Dome.
2 years ago as vice president, I was proud to cast the tie-breaking vote that sent the bill that gave Medicare the power to negotiate and let it get to the president's desk. And I was proud when our president, Joe Biden, signed that bill into law.
You know, we're going to miss Joe Biden if Dome wins. Because with Joe, whenever he spoke, we could laugh and laugh. Could you imagine listening to that voice for 8 years? Well, gosh, please. No, not 8 years. 4. If she wins, it's only 4. Please. Let's get to some emails. Dear Captain Loofah, you know, that's not very nice. I never used a loofah. I said I admitted one time that I used body wash, whatever. Anyway, as a dedicated listener, I'm concerned about the best voice left on radio. I too was once feminized a feminized adult male who used body wash. But within 6 weeks of starting Chalk, I threw away my feminine body wash and started using bar soap like the man I am. I wonder if maybe due to your affliction with gigantism, you may need to up your daily Chalk intake. I'm just trying to help. Okay. I'll get to the rest of the email in a moment. 1, that's not nice. I don't know why you guys aren't very nice. 2, don't forget. Take a male vitality stack, gentlemen. Take a female vitality stack every day. Don't skip days, every single day. I'm not asking you to do this just kind of crossing my fingers that you'll feel better. You will feel better. And if you don't, go to chalk.com and get a subscription. And if you don't, I want you to promise me you will cancel your subscription after 90 days. I'm asking you to cancel your subscription if you don't feel markedly better. You cannot imagine how good you're about to feel. CHOQ.com. Natural herbal supplements from the most hardcore anti-commies I've ever met in my life. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. All right. All right. Let's get to the rest of this. You often say the communists think they're the good guys. I believe you may be right about the street communist scum, but I can in no way believe the elite communist scum believe they're the good guys. I cannot comprehend how a person can believe all the things they are doing are good. You like to say the streets are the true believers, but the elites are not. Is this not also the case with thinking they're the good guys? Okay, so there is something that normal people like us will have a difficult time understanding. But it is something I have seen, especially with communists, over and over and over and over again. There is a savior complex with the elite communists. And you know how I used to say this a lot more than I do now. I need to bring it back because it is so true. You know, I talk about there are three characteristics they all have in common. Every one of these elite communists. What are they? No love of country. They don't sit around fretting about America. They just don't think about it. No connection to the real world. They go right from fancy schools to fancy this. They don't know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. But three, let's focus on this part of it. They see themselves as kings and queens. This is the mentality you will have the hardest time relating to because you don't see yourself that way. It's just not how right-wingers think. Wherever you fall on the right, nationalist, libertarian, conservative, I don't care. Wherever you are on the right, you don't see things in that way. In general, you don't see one person as being genuinely higher than another person, do you? Now, different people have different roles, right? There's a head coach and there's a kicker. There's the CEO and there's the intern in the mailroom. And yes, they have different levels of importance and different roles, but you would probably, at least I hope you wouldn't look at the super rich billionaire and say, wow, that guy is just better. He's a higher being than me. You would never say that, would you? I would never say that. But it's really, really important if you want to understand how elite communist scum think. It's really important to understand they do think in those terms. All human beings and their eyes are not equal. Remember, they don't even believe these people are all demons. All human beings are not equal. You are not a unique God-breathed soul. You know, God knows your name. That the concepts like that, they can't relate to anything like that at all. You have to cut that part out of them. To them, there are people who are doing good and making the world move. And then there are people like you. At best, you're a cog in the wheel. And at worst, you're in the way and you should die or be imprisoned. I'll tell you what, I'm going to elaborate on this a little bit more in just a moment. I'm up against the clock. I'm going to elaborate on this mentality. Give me a second. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.